Good morning, church. It's that time of year again. We get to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. And without his birth, without him stepping into his creation, we are all undone. And so grateful for this time of year where, although it seems like it's becoming increasingly hard to do, we have this opportunity to focus on, just meditate on what our God has done and stepping into his creation. So very thankful for that. So if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to go over to the birth of Jesus in Luke chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2, and we're beginning in verse 1. And before we start to read, I was telling someone earlier this morning in Sunday school what I did for a living when I'm not a pastor. I work at the school district, and I say, well, I'm in IT. They're like, oh, you're like a programmer. I'm like, no. And it's really hard for me to explain because as soon as I say IT, they think that. But, there's a whole layers and all these layers of IT. And there's one layer. It's about cabling and fiber optics and running all the cabling and terminating it all and all that stuff. And that's the part I do. And so I say I'm kind of like an electrician. I try to compare myself to something that they might more easily understand. They just don't let me even play with high voltage because I'm not smart enough. So they say, you stay with the low voltage stuff, right? Don't hurt yourself. But so my question to you this morning as we get started is, have you, when you think about what you've done in life and stuff, have you thought of the comparisons that you might put towards what you've done as your vocation or in the home or any of those things, what you've compared yourself to through the years? Have you ever compared yourself to a shepherd? Well, it's kind of like a shepherd. Do you have any commonalities with a shepherd? Maybe some of you have been on the farm, so they're like, yeah. But if you're like me, you haven't spent 5 minutes in a barn. So, but how about you? If you grew up and you have not had that opportunity to be around animals and livestock, do you have any commonalities with the shepherd is my question to you today. And ultimately, as we close, I hope that as we go through the scripture today, that you'll see that you do indeed have some commonalities with shepherds, specifically the shepherds that are found in the Christmas story and here in Luke chapter 2. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and read, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Luke chapter 2, the word of the Lord says this, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. The first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them." Verse 8 goes on, "And in the same reason, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. The angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to the people he favors.' When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And after seeing them, they reported the message that they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you that we can have knowledge of you. We thank you that we, because of your preserved word, Lord, we thank you that we can know how we can be reconciled back to you, Lord. We know why there's so much evil in this world, so much darkness in this world, Lord, because you've revealed it to us in your word. And so we just praise you and thank you, God, that you've demonstrated that to us, that you've revealed who you are to us. And most importantly, Lord, you've revealed how we can have salvation through the Lord Jesus, God. Hopefully all in this room this morning can offer you praise and thanks and honor for what you've done, that they have encountered Jesus in that way in which they are saved and born again and adopted into your family, Lord. It's all because you've given it to us, the gospel, the good news of Jesus in your word. And his earthly ministry, Lord, and his path to go to live the law perfectly for us on our part, and then go to the cross and die for us, Lord, the path, his earthly ministry begins at his birth. And we celebrate that this morning, God, and thank you for it. Lord, we ask that you would, by the power of your Spirit, work in our hearts individually, Lord, that today would not just be a day to check off, that we went to church the Sunday before Christmas, that you would meet with us, Father, that we'd be reminded and reflect on your goodness and your love that's demonstrated in Jesus coming into his creation. Help us, Father. Help us bring praise and adoration to you for what you've done. Help us to apply our minds and our hearts at these next few minutes, Father. Help us to not be distracted by outside noises, but let us focus on you, for you are worthy, God. We ask it in Christ's precious and powerful name. Amen. All right, so we have the Christmas story here that we just read, and I'm sure many families have that tradition on Christmas morning. You crack open your Bible, you read Luke chapter 2, and go through that story, and we get to do it again today, this morning. So grateful for the opportunity. But I just want to take a few moments, and like I said, what the ultimate goal for this sermon today is that I'd like for us to understand and see that we have many commonalities with these shepherds that are in this story. And so we're going to begin in Luke chapter 2, verse 9, and just pull out a few of the things that we see regarding the shepherds here, okay? In verse 9, it says, "The angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." And so we see here first that they were out in the shepherd. Could you imagine being out in the fields shepherding some sheep, and all of a sudden, right, the glory of the Lord shines right about them. So again, we're talking about God's light, his Shekinah glory, yet again, demonstrating in prominent manner the glory of God in light. They're overwhelmed by this light. Last week we talked about the star that the Magi saw was more than likely God's glory, his Shekinah glory, not an astronomical event, but God shining. And we saw in the Old Testament how God led his people in the wilderness all throughout Exodus for 40 years, and in the day he led his people by a cloud, and then at night it was a pillar of fire demonstrating his glory yet again by light. The theme of light all throughout the Bible, God showing himself mightily in light, contrasting that with the darkness of this world, the darkness that sin has brought into this world. Even in the very beginning, when his first creative act, God said, "Let there be light." And this was before the stars and the moon. And no doubt this light that has come is an imminence of his glory, His glory demonstrating itself in light. And here we see it again, God showing up, the glory of the Lord shown round about them, and what causes them to do? They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And so we see here that the glory of the Lord shows up first and manifesting itself in light. This angel appears and says, "Don't be afraid. Look, I'm proclaiming to you good news, the gospel." Gospel means good news. The long-awaited Messiah is to be born. Verse 11, "Today, in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord." This is good news indeed. You have to realize God has revealed his plan of salvation through human history. The Old Testament prophets prophesied, as we discussed many times, of the Messiah that is to come. And we know that Jesus fulfills those prophecies, but you have to understand the last prophecy in Malachi, who prophesied of the Messiah that was to come, that God's people had to wait 400 years between that and when Jesus shows up on the scene. 400 years. We were talking this morning in Sunday school how we are to live with an expectation of the Lord's return. But it's been 2,000 years. And that can be kind of a struggle sometimes because we're human. And we get discouraged sometimes. And we see that we just keep hoping. And just as God's people, the Old Testament, we kept placing their hope in the faith that the one day God would fulfill his promise, that the Messiah would come. And here is this day. This angel shows up on the scene and declares the good news. The Messiah, the anointed one that is prophesied to deliver his people, has been born. And we see here in verse 12 that this good news brings God glory, and it also brings peace to those who believe in this good news. Verse 12 says this: "This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and laying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of hosts with the angel praising God. And so first and foremost, the birth of Jesus, as we go into this Christmas season, it's ultimately about bringing glory to God. God fulfilling his promises. And there are distractions all around us want to point us and take our attention away from what's truly important. And what's truly important is, yes, salvation is found in Jesus, and we are the benefactors of that. But ultimately, this salvation story, this redemption story, is a story about God coming to redeem and to rescue. And this fulfillment of the Messiah coming should bring glory to God. Our focus and our attention should be pointed back to him. Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." That's the good news. This good news is not just a head knowledge that the Messiah has come, but as God reveals his redemption story and reveals through his apostles how we can access this good news, this gospel, that Jesus has come to seek and to save those who are lost, that he goes to the cross to pay the penalty for us on our behalf because we could not do it ourselves. That's good news. And then God's word says how we can achieve it, how we can receive that gift of salvation. And the best news is it doesn't require you to join a certain institution. That doesn't require you to join a church. It doesn't require you to fulfill these certain commands and do this checklist. It doesn't require you to be baptized before you can obtain the salvation. The good news that is all throughout the New Testament is that to receive gospel, the salvation that Jesus has offered, we must believe and trust in his accomplished work alone. All we have to do is receive it and trust in that alone. Abandon our hope and all else and only trust him. That is some good news. And I wrote a Facebook post last night as I was working on this. I was feeling like I was being pulled in two different directions because I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, I know what it's like to live in this world without the peace of God. spent my time investing in all my retirement and my savings and all those things that the world told me that I needed to be secure and to have peace in this life. And then 9/11 happened, and all those things came crumbling down. It's a house of cards. I had no peace. All those things that I was relying in proved to be insufficient. But then I encountered Christ, and I believed, and I received Jesus as Savior. And since that day, almost 15 years ago now, God's peace fell upon me. The guilt of my sin was taken away that day. And I felt peace for the first time in my life. And yes, the road's been bumpy. It hasn't been perfect there since that time. But that's the peace that comes in believing in the good news. And so this good news brings glory to God, but it brings peace to those who trust in this good news that Jesus has come to seek and to save those who are lost, that he paid your penalty for you. It goes on here in verses 15 through 16. Experiencing the good news leads to action. We encounter Jesus, we experience, we believe the good news, and ultimately that leads to action, as we see here with these shepherds. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they didn't just stay out in their field and go, "Wow, that's great." No, I want to see. I want to go see what has just happened. Let us go immediately to Bethlehem and check this out. The good news should lead to action. And we can contrast that with the story that we talked about last week, the Magi who show up into Jerusalem because the stars appeared, and they go to the leadership, King Herod, and they say, "Where is this king to be born?" And what does Herod say? He was troubled. He was greatly troubled. And then Scripture says, and all of Jerusalem was with him, as well troubled. These are God's people who were expecting the Messiah. And yet, these Magi show up out of the east, and they're troubled. They're not excited. They don't go running to Bethlehem to check it out or anything like that. They're troubled in their spirit. Where these shepherds, they hear the good news from the angel, and it provokes them to action. So experiencing the good news leads to action. And they went, in verse 16, with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And then we see here in verse 17 that experiencing or believing the good news causes them to proclaim the good news. It causes them to proclaim the good news. This good news that was proclaimed to them by the angel, they in turn begin to proclaim to others. Verse 17, after seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. Believing and experiencing the good news should cause us to proclaim the good news. Verse 19, experience the good news caused Mary to worship. And ultimately, this is what we come down to. This is what my prayer is for all of my family, myself, you as our church family. If you're a visitor this morning, for you as well. That this Christmas season, it's not too late. This Christmas season, we'll spend some time shutting out all the noise that is in this world and focus our energy and our attention on our Savior coming into the earth to seek and to save us. Experience the good news caused Mary to worship. Verse 19, but Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. They come, they proclaim the good news. Guess what? An angel appeared. This is what they said. A whole bunch of heavenly hosts. They declared the good tidings of great joy, on peace on earth and goodwill towards men. They declared these things. They come and they tell them, and Mary hears this, and she begins to treasure these things up in her heart. And she begins to meditate on them. Experiencing the good news should cause not only Mary, but for us to worship as well. And And then in verse 20, experiencing the good news caused the shepherds to worship as well. But this was a sense of worship that led a worship into of action, not of meditation. Mary's was a worship of meditation and prayer, which is good for all of us. But ultimately, our worship should lead us to action as well. Verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. So these shepherds saw this baby. They begin to return and glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen. They begin to worship their God for all the things they had seen, which were just as they had been told. And so that is where we come to try to examine the commonalities that we have with the shepherds. What are the commonalities that we have 2,000 years later, who some of us have never been in a field with sheep or anything like that, never spent much time with animals, but yet, in a spiritual sense, my hope and prayer is that you do have some commonalities with these shepherds. And the first one can be found in verse 9. God's glory has shined on the shepherds. Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. God's glory shows up, it shines on the shepherds, but it also, hopefully, has shined in within our hearts. All of us could say that this morning. God's glory has shined in our hearts. Remember the verse that we went over just a few weeks ago, 2 Corinthians 4:6. Paul spoke about this, how for God who said, right, all the way back in Genesis, let light shine out of the darkness. The same God who said, let there be light, has now, through Jesus, has shown in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. And so the first commonality I hope that you have with the shepherds this morning is that God's glory was shined on them, but as hopefully shone within your heart as well. That you've seen the glory of God through the knowledge of God through in the face of Jesus Christ. That you've experienced and encountered Jesus in a saving way. The second commonality that I hope that we have this morning is Jesus is the good news. Right, in verse 10, they declare the good news that Jesus, the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah, is to be born. This is the good news. And it's the same good news that we should experience and focus on this morning as well. Jesus is that good news. Jesus not only was born as a baby, but he grew to be a man. He fulfilled the law perfectly on our account, only to go to the cross as the spotless Lamb of God to die for mankind's sin, to die for our sin, to pay the penalty that we deserve. He took that upon himself so that we could be rescued and redeemed. That because God poured out his wrath on Jesus, we can in return, as we believe and trust in this accomplished work, can be adopted into his family. And not only is our sin taken away, but the good news, the best news of all, is that we are given Christ's righteousness. Christ didn't come just to take our account to zero and then we have to figure it out from there. The good news is that Jesus came, died for us, paid the penalty of sin, and then those who believe and trust him are imputed Christ's righteousness back to them. And the best news is that from those who believe and trust in that, when God looks down and sees us, he does not see us in our sin. He sees the righteousness of Christ. It's not about our works. It's not about how good we can be. It's about what Christ has done on our account. And that, my friends, is some good news. That is why the birth of Jesus is so important. We see that in that same verse, 2 Corinthians 4:6, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. The good news is that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those who are lost, for all those who would believe. And the third commonality with the shepherds is this: good news of Jesus brings glory to God and peace to believers. I kind of already touched on this one, right? The good news of Jesus is that the gospel, the plan of salvation, all those things are all a means in which God receives glory. Yes, we are benefactors of salvation. That is a beautiful thing, right? But ultimately, it's designed, God's good news has provided us, I'm having some problems with this, honey. The good news of Jesus is designed for us to bring glory to God because of what Jesus has done. And ultimately, God, by believing and receiving in the gospel message, the good news, it brings peace to the believers. John 14:27 says this: peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled or fearful. This is Jesus proclaiming these things just as he's on the eve of his passion. He's with his disciples, and he says, look, I'm going to go away. He goes, but look, I desire to give you peace. Peace I live with you. I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled. And all of us should know Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace that comes in believing the good news is what this world needs. We see it all around us. So many people that I know and you know and love carry on in this world with little or no peace. And only true peace comes from a relationship with the Lord Jesus. And so hopefully that is a commonality that you have with the shepherds this morning. The fourth one is experiencing the good news leads to action. Right? In verses 15 and 16, when the angels of the Lord left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. So they went straight away. It leads to action. And so hopefully the point of all this, the sermon this morning, is that as believers, as Christians, yes, the Christmas time is a great time for us to meditate and reflect on the birth of our Savior. It's a good time to spend with family and friends and just enjoy the goodness that God has, the common grace that God has showered down upon us. All those things are a beautiful thing. But ultimately, this good news, as we reflect on that, as it provokes us to worship, is that it should provoke us to action as well. We're going into the new year, and a month ago, I challenged the church with identifying one person, spending some time in prayer with God, identifying one person in 2020 who you're going to beseech God's throne in prayer and ask that you would be a vessel that God would use in sharing the gospel with someone. And I asked you to identify who's that one is going to be. And that can be scary, and I know that. But as we beseech God, then we expect and we lean into God, and we know that it's through the power of God. What ultimately should be our motivating factor is this: the worship of our Creator, the worship of our Savior Jesus. That these guys, these shepherds, experience this good news, it provoked them to go into action, to provoke them to proclaim the gospel, right? Number five, experience the good news leads to proclaiming the good news. They begin to proclaim it. And ultimately, here in number six, is experiencing the good news caused Mary to worship in prayer and meditation. As we go into this Christmas season, let's spend some time, church, meditating on the good news. Are you a benefactor? Are you one of God's children because of what Christ has done? It's a good time to spend just reflecting on that. It's a form of worship. It's a form of worship to think on all the blessings he's allowed into our lives, the goodness that he brings in our life, the peace that it brings, the fruit of the Spirit. All these things are things that we, this Christmas season, can focus on and just meditate on. Because ultimately, when I ask us, when I challenge the church to go out and to engage those people around you with the good news of the gospel, is my heart is that our motivation has to be out of worship and love and appreciation for what our Lord has done for us. And we see that in Mary. She just can't believe it. She's taking all this into her heart and meditating on those things. And then we see this knowledge, this good news being experienced by the shepherds, which could cause them to proclaim the good news to those around them. And as they return home, they begin to glorify and worship their God. The shepherds return, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. So they went home. They went back to their families. They went back to their towns. Do you think they just went back and said nothing? You'll never guess what happened. I bet you is what they said. This angel appeared, heavenly hosts, told us about this baby in Bethlehem. We went, we saw the baby. This is the Messiah. They declared it's good news, and through him, peace on earth and goodwill towards man would be accomplished. They began to proclaim the glorious gospel to those around them. And so my prayer this morning is really simple. As we go out, as we try to be the light of the world, right? This whole series in December has been just focusing on the theme of light versus darkness that's found in the Bible. We know that Jesus has declared himself to be the light of the world. But Jesus has also said his followers are now the light of the world. And Matthew 5 says this: you are the light of the world, a city situated on a hill that cannot be hidden. This is Jesus preaching to a multitude of people. And he looks down and he sees these poor peasants, and he says, you are the light of the world. A city situated on the hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Jesus shows up, declares himself in John to be, I am the light of the world. And then on the Sermon on the Mount, he says to his followers, you are the light of the world. It is us who he has chosen to spread this good message, this message of the gospel to those around us. We are in, no doubt, a very dark world. And he's given us the privilege to be his light in this very dark world. He's allowed each of us, because of our union with Christ, to carry his light inside of us. What an awesome privilege to be able to go out and encounter and interact with this world who is desperately needing the good news of Jesus. This week I was talking with Gracie and I said, yeah, I still haven't quite figured out what I was going to preach on and how I was going to do it. And he's like, why don't you just tell us how to be light, how to be God's light. Oh, that's a good idea. And so how can we be the light of God? He says here, if you have light, you're not supposed to hide it. You're supposed to demonstrate it to those around us. That's what our King is asking us to do. And so how do we do that? I believe it comes back to worship. What is our motivation? I hope you don't go out and try to share the gospel next year or encounter someone just because your pastor told you and I have to check off the checklist. Tell them, yep, I did it. It didn't do anything, right? Or you feel motivated or compelled to do it because of pressure. No, my hope is that you will do it as a form of worship. As we focus and think and meditate on the goodness that God has given us in Christ Jesus. So we dwell on that and meditate on that in prayer. as we come to church service and speak of it and sing about it, all these things are a form of worship that should ultimately lead us into a sense of action, where we cannot but help to declare the good news to those around us. It happened to me last night. I made a rule a long time ago on Facebook. I'm not going to say anything religious or political because I just don't want to get in big fights. But as I was touching on this and studying about it and finalizing my notes, I'm just like, I feel so compelled to just share my testimony right now. I'm going to ask my people to as a form of worship. And I was thinking about the goodness that God had, the peace that God had brought in my life. How can I not say, just not say anything? 80% of my friends on Facebook don't know the Lord. And I had an opportunity to either not say anything last night or say something. But it was ultimately out of my appreciation and my love for what Christ has done for me. I said, I'm just going to do it. I don't care if my friends unfriend me or think ill of me. I'm going to do it anyway because they need Jesus. But my worship provoked me to do it. To be the light in this world starts with a heart of worship, focusing on, meditating on the things of God, touching base with Him in prayer, reading the Scripture. These are all key, important things for us to do that will ultimately be the motivation for us to go out into this world and be the light that God has asked us to be. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, "A man who truly realizes what it means to be a Christian, or woman, who realizes all that the grace of God has meant to him or her, or done for him or her, and understands that ultimately God has done this in order that he may influence others." Right? When we got saved, he doesn't just snatch us up into heaven the moment we get saved, does he? He leaves us here. Why? So we can be his light. So we have a chance to be used by him to influence others, to bring light in people's darkness. God has done this in order that he may influence others. It is a man who cannot conceal it. Someone who understands that he's here to influence others, is a man who ultimately cannot conceal being a light to those around them. Not only that, he does not desire to conceal it because he argues thus, ultimately the object and purpose of all of it is that I might be functioning for the glory and kingdom of God. Ultimately, going out, reaching the people around us is not feathers in our hat, but it's a means in which we can return what God has done for us and give him glory by sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to those around us. To be the light. That's what he called us to be, church. He is the light of the world. If you're in union with him today, you have his light dwelling within you. He desires for you to go out and bring light into darkness. Let's pray. Father, we love you and are thankful, Lord, for your goodness. We're thankful for salvation, Lord, that's found in Jesus. We're thankful, God, that you've given us this opportunity now to impact the world, to be the light that you've called us to be. It's can be overwhelming and daunting to think about, Lord, but ultimately,